JC Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, April 22nd, 2022, 209 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How are you doing, kids? It's JC here on a Friday at jcontheline.com, and we will do our best to maintain power for the entire show. 2 days in a row, Amron makes it into the news. Of course, he had the sonic booms the other day. They said, we told everybody. Suddenly, apparently Seinfeld is working for them in public relations. We told everybody and nobody would listen. I don't know if you told everybody, then how come nobody knew? I had a guy yesterday say, I saw three separate news outlets talk about it. Well, maybe they only talked about it one time because it wasn't enough, because everybody was very surprised and some people even scared. We're living in a time where loud explosions are probably not the best thing for a person's psyche, all right? So last night, you got an entire Fox Theater full of people who have paid top dollar to get in to see Hamilton, and they're just sitting there, and the show starts, and then the show stops because the theater went completely dark, completely black. Apparently, they had some security lights that went on. Everybody sat there for about 45 minutes, and eventually somebody walked out on stage in the dark, and without the assistance of amplification from some sort of electronic backup system, somebody came out and just said, go home. It's over. We can't get it back on. And nobody quite knew what was happening. And then this morning they said that it was some sort of rodent, some sort of rodent apparently was chewing on wires somewhere. Something exploded, and I guess it even took him a while to figure out the source of some sort of electronic short, some sort of rodent. So apparently, when the people at the Fox Theater banned Beetle Bob, he was trying to figure out some way to chew his way in. I enjoyed that one. Cracking myself up here. Now, you know, Hamilton comes in for a limited run. When the run is over, they go on to the next city. So what happens now? Well, apparently there's, to my surprise, all the shows for the rest of the week are not sold out. So they're, I guess, assuming that the 4,000 or so people who got turned away last night because of the power failure will try to pick up some of the tickets for the remaining shows. But I don't know how happy people are going to be with that arrangement. And at the same time, what else are you supposed to do? The people at the Fox Theater are real pros. They know what they're doing. I've known those people since 1984. A lot of them are still there. They were just kids when they started, and now they're, you know, senior executives. That's a tight ship over there. They know what they're doing. They're good people at the Fox Theater. Oh, we have entertainment today, and it's absolutely free. If for some reason you have the day off today, here we go. Marjorie Taylor Greene, 8:30 Central Time, being questioned by the January 6th committee. Oh, man, I'm getting a big bucket of buttered popcorn. We're going to be sitting there watching that one. I can't even imagine. I got the DVR set to record. I can't even imagine all the dumb things that are going to come out of her mouth today. We are in Sarah Palin territory here today. But the political theater is wonderful, you know, and that's really what this world has turned into. It's like, look over here, now look over here, now look over here. And unless you do something like Will Smith, I mean, well, actually, that's not a bad example to use, because for, what, 2 weeks there, nobody said anything other than stuff about Will Smith. Everybody. And then something else happened and people stopped talking about it. They moved on to something else. You know, the Kardashians or something. But it is, you know, a case of now here, now here, now look over here, now look over here. And while all that's going on, we're getting robbed blind. I have an infected left index finger, although I will say it's a lot better since I started taking the antibiotics the other day. But I don't know what happened. I cut myself and it must have gotten infected. Well, it did get infected and the whole thing was hurting like hell. You have no idea how much an infected finger can hurt. And they always give you the prescription in a little paper bag, and then you rip the bag open, you take the prescription out, and you start taking it, and then you discard of the bag. And somebody said, oh, don't just crunch it up and throw it in the trash. You got to shred it. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why? And to be honest, I've always been mystified by people's insistence that they keep their medical records so super quiet, like it's that sensitive. Like we're talking about where the gold is in Fort Knox, or we're talking about where they keep the aliens at Area 51. I can understand privacy. Privacy makes sense. But the meds thing has always puzzled me. Everybody's taking something. I got a bad liver. I got to take this. I've got migraines. I got to take this. I've got arthritis. I got to take this. So what? So what? I could sit here and I could read off everything. I take 13 pills a day. I take, you know, stuff for my heart, stuff for my cholesterol. I'm developing a bad left hip, so I got to take something for that. How does it change the world for anybody, including me, if somebody finds out what I'm taking? And I've just told you half of the stuff I take. So what? In fact, the older you get, the more discussion there is about the ailments that you're trying to overcome. That's all people do is sit on a park. You ever see two old guys sitting on a park bench, sitting there talking about their lumbago? Did you ever go past a table of old ladies sitting there having lunch at some place in Kimswick? That's all they're doing is talking about some sort of affliction that they're, you know, battling, and their husband, and then some old lady saying, my sister in Omaha has the vapors. I don't know. You know, I don't get it. I had a very interesting discussion with my 12-year-old last night. We were talking about, we were listening to the Beatles channel on satellite radio. And by the way, I got a whole thing on satellite radio, too. Because if you get it, it only takes you a couple of weeks to figure out that it's the same as regular radio. You know, they pick out 350 songs, and they just play them over and over and over again. People think they're getting something special from satellite radio. The only thing you're really getting is no commercials. But you're paying for something that is otherwise free. So don't complain to me about the price of gasoline when you're paying to get music that you could get for free. You got all those buttons on a regular car radio. The commercials come on. If you feel like I don't want to listen to commercials right now, go ahead, punch that button, go to another station. Whoops, surprise! They're all playing their commercials at the exact same time. That's not your imagination, by the way. You're not crazy. If you're thinking to yourself, well, the commercial come on, boom, hit that. And the other station's in a commercial too. All right, I'll go to this station. Boom, they're in a commercial too. That's all by design. It has to do with the way the ratings are taken. And you're saying to yourself, well, how do they know what I'm listening to? Well, you are chosen. But if you are chosen and you know, they're keeping track of everything that you do, everything you listen to, every punch that you make, and there are ways to game the system. The way the system operates, there are ways that if you play the commercial, and the TV stations, same thing, same with television. If you play your commercials at a certain time in the hour, it allows you to sort of get around the system and get higher ratings. I know it's a tremendously flawed system. In our industry, people, you know, lose jobs, get jobs, have their entire lives overturned. You got to leave town, move all over the country, go where the jobs are, all because of this archaic, ridiculous, flawed system they have for taking the ratings. But I digress. The hell was I even talking about? Oh, yeah. My daughter and I were talking. We were listening to the Beatles channel, and I recall thinking to myself, wow. I wonder what songs that are current now. And when I say now, I'll even give you, like, go back 5 years, all right? So in other words, this sort of era, this era, what songs from this era are we still going to be listening to 50 or 60 years from now? Because when we were all kids listening to those Beatle records, I don't think that anybody, we didn't really think about it, but if you were asked about it, you probably would have given the answer no if somebody said to you in 1965, do you think that 60 years from now, you're still going to be listening to this music? And you'd probably say, well, no, I'll be listening to whatever's out then, 60 years from now. Well, surprise, here we are. So, if you accept that premise, fast forward 50 or 60 years from right now, what's out and what's been out like the last 5 or 6 years that will still be around, that will endure, that will stand the test of time? What are we going to still be listening to from this era right now, 60 years from now? And I really had a hard time coming up with anything. And then I heard Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars, and I thought to myself, maybe that's one. Maybe a couple of these Adele songs. Do you think 60 years from now we're going to be listening to this rap stuff? I'm going to give you an example. Like, I like Doja Cat. I think Doja Cat's really good. And Olivia Rodrigo, I think these are very talented women. But I seriously question whether 50 or 60 years from now we're going to still be listening to that. Is it possible that 50 or 60 years from now, we're still going to be listening to classic rock and the Beatles? I don't know. But it's a great question if you want to start a fight in the office at the water cooler. All right, my favorite late night show, Stephen Colbert, has been off more than it's been on the last month or two. And now it's going to be off again, including last night was a rerun because Colbert has come down with COVID. And I think now that completes the cycle. I think everybody in late night television now has gotten COVID and has been off the air for a while. But it's as bad as that is, at least you're not working for CNN Plus. You heard this story yesterday. It launched on March 29th. It's going to shut down on April 30th. There's stuff going on at CNN. Speaking of Colbert, the guy who they brought in after Colbert's show, 6 years ago, was not getting enough airspeed to really get off the ground. They brought in a guy about a year into Colbert's show, and he turned the whole thing around. And now, of course, Colbert has been number one for must be 4 or 5 straight years. Well, that guy is the guy they hired at CNN. And think about it, a couple of their biggest stars, either got fired or got run out of the place, whatever. That already had happened at Fox News 5 or 6 years ago with O'Reilly and all those guys. And now CNN going through really a lot of the same stuff. Ratings are way down. I think they're going to go way up today after this Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. But that's just, you know, 1 or 2 days. They need more than that. And they've got more than that. Like I said, this guy seems to be some sort of a miracle worker in terms of fixing shows that are stumbling. And in this case, an entire network. So he's only been there a couple of weeks. But you're hearing now in cable news what you hear coming out of Hollywood all the time. There are legendary stories in Los Angeles about, you know, some guy gets his movie green lighted and they're just getting ready to do all the pre-production work and hire all the actors, you know, do all the casting and the design and the art direction and get the cinematography right and choose locations. So they're doing all that and there's a big shakeup at the studio. And all of a sudden, the guy who green lit your project isn't running the studio anymore. And your project, your movie, just seems sort of abandoned. You Google that and you'll find a whole bunch of stories like that. So really what's going on at CNN, not that unusual. The question is, where are we a year or two from now when you come out the other side? You know, can a guy walk into a place that's in total disarray right now, like CNN, and figure out some way to right the ship? A story worth keeping an eye on. State of Missouri makes it into the national news again for all the wrong reasons. The driver of a semi tried to avoid a wreck on the interstate in mid-state Missouri on Wednesday, which of course was 420. Then a pickup truck rear-ended the semi and another tractor trailer crashed into the back of the pickup. So it was a big pileup. Nobody seriously hurt, but a bunch of bags that were in the bed of the pickup truck got scattered all over the highway, and it turned out to be 500 pounds of pot. The three people in the truck were all from Mexico, and at least two of them got arrested. 32-year-old Victor Acosta and a 24-year-old named Dave Navarro. No, not that one. There was also a woman in the car with him. It's not clear if she's facing charges, too. Victor and Dave are looking at potentially 10 to 30 years in prison for drug trafficking. Dave Navarro also got charged with reckless driving. That's adding insult to injury. Why anybody would irritate Mike Tyson, and this guy clearly was doing it on the plane. He's sitting in the chair behind Mike Tyson on a flight. They're getting ready to take off, and this guy just won't leave Mike Tyson alone. Now, I'm not one of those people who has, just sort of agreed to forget about the past with regard to Mike Tyson. I know what he is. I don't think he's a sympathetic character somehow, but, you know, he did his time. He's not boxing anymore, so he can't, you know, bite anybody's ear off. I'm okay with just letting him live his life. Well, this guy on the plane just will not. He's just badgering him. And finally, now the story that Mike Tyson is giving is that he says the guy threw a bottle at him, a water bottle at him, and that's what started the whole thing. You know, because there are legendary stories, and this happened to me a million times. You talk to anybody who is recognizable, let's just say, and there are people, oh, I love you. I love you. Listen to you every day. I love you. Everything you do. I've been listening since 84 when you got here. And blah, blah, would you sign this? Okay. Would you take a picture with me? Okay, fine. Now here, put this pickle hat on. Like John Goodman said, now put this pickle hat on and dance. John was like, yeah, they buy you a beer and then they think they own you. And especially if they've been drinking, well, then just it the situation grows exponentially. Now, are there other ways to deal with something like this rather than go out of your seat and start pummeling the guy? You're a professional boxer with one of the most lethal set of hands in the entire country? Watch this space. Speaking of space, Adrian Grenier from Entourage partnering with a startup that's building a balloon to send people to the height of 100,000 feet. That's not outer space, but it's far enough to see the curvature of the Earth and the darkness beyond our atmosphere. Think you're having a bad day? A woman at a popular hiking spot in Washington State dropped her phone into an outhouse toilet, and she's like, I gotta get my phone. So she goes head first into the toilet trying to retrieve it, and you can figure it out. She falls in, and she was stuck head first in the porta potty. She called 911 and had to be rescued by firefighters. I'm sure they're having a good day, too. You're going to be watching Marjorie Taylor Greene's testimony today, but you can't completely avoid this Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Yesterday, Amber's attorney read a weird text exchange between them where Johnny talked about going for the throat. You know, the term, I'm going to go for the throat. Amber said, my throat is yours. And Johnny replied, I have other uses for your throat, which do not include injury. Okay, you guys, get a courtroom. A movie called Being Mortal, starring Aziz Ansari, Seth Rogen, and Bill Murray, has halted production because somebody has accused Bill Murray of inappropriate behavior. There's no word on what he did or if filming will resume. The New York Post has a rundown of Bill Murray's history of incidents on movie sets, and he's not always easy to work with. I try to explain this to people. I've gotten Bill Murray when he is just the happiest, most jovial, cooperative, fun guy you'd ever want to be around. And I've also gotten him where I've thought to myself, why did you even bother getting out of bed today? Because you knew when you left the house today, you were just going to go around and make people as miserable as you are. I've gotten Bill Murray both ways. A friend of mine posted last night on Facebook something about, I don't know if he was telling a story of a friend of his, and it's like, I'm a Christian, but I have a son that's gay. How do I reconcile this? And it seemed to be an honest question for people to sort of help him out with, trying to sort it out. And all I put down was, well, if you like color, style, fashion, creativity, creative writing, whether it's the spoken word or whether it's music, might as well throw in food, especially, you know, really good food. You didn't have a gay community, you wouldn't have much creativity in any of those areas. And I think those areas are pretty important. Now you throw in things like music and dance, just the performing arts, no gay community. You wake up every day, it would be like living your life in a Toby Keith video. Besides, if you have a religion that says, pick out one group of people and hate them, well, then you have a bad religion. And by the way, the term homosexuality wasn't even coined until the 19th century. Therefore, you can look all over the Bible for it, and that word's not there. A right-wing representative, state representative, Dave Williams, who's trying to primary Representative Doug Lamborn, says he's filed a lawsuit to get his name printed on the ballot as Dave Let's Go Brandon Williams. He claims many already know him by his nickname, and it's central to who he is. Are we all in third grade? Oh, how about this one? I guess you've already heard Alex Jones, that wingnut with all the conspiracy theories and the QAnon stuff and everything like that. He made comments about Sandy Hook. They sued him. He lost. To get away from having to pay the penalties on this whole thing, is declared bankruptcy. But before he did, and this is the New York Times reporting this, it's not just some, you know, goof on the internet. This is the New York Times. Before Alex Jones declared that bankruptcy we just talked about, he went to the Justice Department looking for an immunity deal to snitch on Trump over the January 6th Capitol riot. And they said, go fuck yourself. And that was the end of that. But he was going to squeal, but they didn't give him the chance to. Oh, man, the rats are jumping ship. And I find this mildly hilarious. Amber Heard, by the way, is going to be celebrating her birthday in court today. She is 36. Machine Gun Kelly, 32. Cheryl Lee, Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks, 55. Ryan Stiles from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Of course, the Drew Carey Show, 63. Peter Frampton, cool guy. We had him on the air a couple years ago in a very, very long conversation, and he was just fascinating to talk to, 72 today. John Waters, you know his movies, 76 today. John is a proud gay man, and he has a great response to people who tell him that they are straight. Well, John, I'm sorry, I'm straight. And his response is, so is spaghetti until you heat it up. End quote. Jack Nicholson, 85 today. Birthdays tomorrow from Slumdog Millionaire. Dev Patel, 32. John Oliver, 45. John Cena, 45. Melina Kanakaridis, from, let's see, she's on The Resident. She was also on, TV show Providence. And she's 55 today. Valerie Bertinelli, who I still just love, 62. Michael Moore, Satan, as far as the right wing of this country is concerned. 68 today. Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company, 73. Lee Majors, $6 million man, 83. Was the joke back then is the $6 million man, he can't get it down. Sunday birthdays, Kelly Clarkson, 40. And also, the last time I saw her, like a size 40, that's not healthy. She's into that area now where she's got to do something to put on the brakes on that whole thing. Cedric the Entertainer, 58. Barbara Streisand, 80. Shirley MacLaine, 88. Today is Earth Day. I don't really buy into this whole thing because they have these big Earth Day celebrations, and you ought to see the trash. I used to have it at Forest Park, and you know, that thing would empty out at the end of the weekend. And you're like, oh, yeah, this was good for the environment. Gotta have the forests. Gotta have the forests. Number one most forested country in the world is, you'll never guess, Russia. Brazil is second, followed by Canada, and then the United States. And in the U.S., the total forest area has increased by 18 million acres since 1990. On average, that's about 1,200 NFL football fields every day. Humans are just 0.01% of all life on Earth, but somehow we've managed to destroy 83% of all wild mammals and 50% of the plants. There's a myth that lobsters are immortal because they don't show any signs of aging and seem to die only from external causes. They do produce an enzyme that repairs their cells and helps their DNA to replicate indefinitely, but they can die naturally. It just takes a while. Lobsters can live to be 100 years old. In a new survey, 74% of people say they're actively concerned about climate change. 22% said they don't believe in it. There's the problem right there. One out of every five people thinks climate change is bullshit. And it just seems like that's always it. About one out of five, but that 20% that's screwing up everything for everybody. You got the heat waves, the melting ice caps, the floods, the more intense hurricanes, not only in number, but also in degrees of intensity. 81% of people are worried about climate change's impact on future generations, but there are pressing issues for today as well. 70% said climate change is a top contributor to their stress right now and part of their health problems. Parents are more likely to have road rage, according to a new study. Imagine that! Also, 25% of Americans have yelled at another driver or laid on their horn sometime in the last 2 years. 12% have cut somebody off on purpose, and 5% have gotten out of their car to confront another driver. They used to say that drinking milk was good for your bones, but a new study says you may be able to improve your bone health by drinking white wine. Well, that's a good message for a Friday. And remember when everybody was touting intermittent fasting? I just saw something on that the other day, and I was thinking, geez, I wonder if I should try that. You smash all of your eating into 6 to 8 hours each day. Scientists say it doesn't work, at least not as much as, you know, just eating fewer calories. And as we said, Jack Nicholson turns 85 today, which means that women as old as 42 are now eligible to play as love interest in movies. This is the anniversary of the Bridgeton tornadoes back in 2011. You know, this is a long time ago, really. It was 11 years. And if you remember what your cell phone was like 11 years ago, it wasn't very sophisticated. And you might have had an app, a weather app, that would allow you to see radar for the first time on your own personal device. It just wasn't very good. It wasn't very sophisticated. But I remember we were out. It was a Friday night, and we were out on Clarkson at a wine bar out there. And my daughter, who was just, you know, a little baby at the time, was staying with grandma out, and she lives out near Creve Coeur Lake. And I'm looking at my phone, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, all right, I don't want to overreact here, but this is really not looking good. This is looking very scary. I still remember there were two cells. This was the storm that blew the windows out of the airport. This is the storm where Dave Murray said, I'm getting under my table right now, because they were, it appeared to be right in the path of the tornado, because it was going from like out around Wentzville and almost coming right down 70, and it skipped right over Creve Coeur Lake. It hit the airport, and it was, and Fox 2 is right over there. And Dave was like, I know I'm on television live right now, but I'm getting under this motherfucker right now. And, you know, a lot of people suffered a lot of damage from those tornadoes back in 2011. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Fernando Tatis 2 grand slams in the same inning at Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine out in Los Angeles. In 97, on Sunday's date, that was, I remember telling that story about, I was coming out of one of those little newsstands that they have at the airport, and I'm walking out of the thing, and I'm looking where I'm going, but a woman is sort of walking towards me, and she's doing that thing where she's walking, but she's looking over her shoulder sort of behind her, and just bumps right into me, and then gives me a startled look, almost as if to say, "Why did you do that?" And I just looked at her like, "Honey, you ran into me. I was looking where I was going. You weren't even paying any attention." And moments later, I realized that the person I was involved with in this incident was supermodel Elle McPherson. True story. And back in 1985, now I had been in town just about a year. And, you know, when you come to a new town and you're on the radio, you need people to notice you. You need to do stuff that I think we were doing pretty good job of getting noticed, but I never really let up back in those days. I just looked for every amazing opportunity there was. So the newspaper and the TV stations do the story about the fact that somebody had stolen Fred Bird's head. And the Cardinals were basically saying, "We need that head back. It's a lot of money." You know, people don't know it. There's a little fan in the beak of that thing that blows 150-degree air on the face of the person in there, but at least it's some sort of air circulation. So it's a pretty sophisticated little piece of costuming right there. So, of course, I was on Casey at the time, and I just thought to myself, why do I have this feeling that somebody who listens to this show on this radio station knows something about this? And so I said, come on, it's the Cardinals. What are you going to do with the head anyhow? You stole it. You can't show it to anybody or they're going to know that you stole it. And then somebody might turn you in. You got a piece of hot property here. And don't do this to the Cardinals. We love the Redbirds. So here's the deal. If you're listening right now and you got Fred Bird's head, you're the one that stole it. Put it in a bag and leave it at the front door of the radio station here in Crestwood on Watson Road. No questions asked. And I'll be goddamn go to hell if the next morning I come walking into work at about 5:15 and there's a big bag and I open it up, there is Fred Bird's head. So I call up the Cardinals and I go, "I got the head." And they go, "How'd you get it?" I go, and I told them the story that I just told you. They're like, "All right, well, can you just drop it off?" I'm like, no, that's not good enough. I invited the TV stations. I invited the TV stations down to the ballpark, and then I had a representative from the Cardinals come out, and I got this on TV. And you know the policy at the TV stations. If you're a radio guy like me and you do something wrong, they say your name about 50 times. If you do something that's for charity, or you do something that in this case was just a community service, you know, cute little story, they never mention your name. So they never actually say J.C. Corcoran. And there's a reference to $600 here. I don't even remember that part of the story, but they mention the name of the guy from the Cardinals. They just don't mention my name. But here's how it sounded with Deanne Lane laughing in the background while Stan Stovall did the story.
Finally tonight, when the Cardinals take the field against the New York Mets, Fred Bird will have his head, folks. The Cardinals mascot had his head stolen following a charity appearance last weekend. We all know how painful that can be, right? But KC Radio posted a $600 bounty on the bird's beak, and yesterday the head was returned. This afternoon, here at the Channel 5 studios, and under the tightest of security, Cardinals Director of Marketing Marty Hendon was presented the missing mask, and perhaps just in time. You see, the Cards have dropped 3 straight games since the head disappeared last weekend. Let's hope it makes a difference, right?
Good luck, Charm is back.
Right.
And with that, we say that's it for the Friday, April 22nd, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com. 209 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. You may email me at any time, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We're here a little bit after 7 o'clock every weekday morning. And everything is archived, so if you missed a show during the week, you can binge them over the weekend, whatever you like to do. please continue to spread the word. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. We'd like to stay that way. And a lot of the grunt work was done by you guys spreading the word. Please continue to do that. I really do appreciate it. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.